Hi Razor community, and thanks for joining us for another episode of the Razor Sharp Show, where we all hang out to stay sharp. We are your hosts, Ray Milodoni and Matt Romania. Matt, can you share why our podcast exists?
Our podcast exists to educate, inspire, and motivate you to help you reach your goals and make a positive impact in the world.
That's right. And we just love making our podcast every week and want to thank you, our listeners, for all the ongoing support you have shown. If this is your first time listening, well, welcome to the Razor community.
So if you want to move the needle forward and get closer to your goals, stick around as you're going to enjoy this.
Today, we have the pleasure of hanging out with Troy Dean. Troy Dean has been an idol of mine for a very long time. I've been around Troy Dean's content for over a year now, doing his WP Elevation course and then also his Rockstar Empire course. And it is absolutely a bit starstruck to be interviewing someone who I've been looking up to for a very long time and being able to have the pleasure of interviewing Troy Dean and exploring his journey of where he's come from and the way that he moved his, you know, service business, dealing with websites and running an agency, and realizing that, you know, doing that was trading time for money. And he wanted to, you know, really move his business in a way where he could leverage his income, where he could create something once and sell it multiple times. And if you know his story, he first started off building a plugin for WordPress developers, and that built a big community around the WordPress space. And then he found an opportunity to run a course that helped people run better business. And as he says, you know, he's not in a position to help them run a better business of whatever they're experts of doing, but he definitely had a system that he could show people how to raise invoices, get more systemized, run a better process, and give a better client experience, so that way web developers could run a better project. He then realized that everyone started asking him how he ran his course for WP Elevation. And so then he realized that he had another opportunity to actually run a course on how to run courses. And that is how Rockstar Empires was created. And as a student of Troy Dean's and seeing the way that this course evolved from a multi-part webinar to building a small community of a different name, and then seeing it evolve to what it is today, has absolutely been inspiring. And I can only recommend that you get around some of the content that Troy Dean produces, because even the content he releases for free is full of value and is just with such high level of expertise. And you know, I just can't ever get enough of the content that Troy Dean produces. So it has been an absolute pleasure to invite Troy Dean onto the show. I was ecstatic when he said yes, and the interview was put together right before our podcast launch, and I actually moved my studio into the Hatch Quarters co-working space in Melbourne to make sure that I didn't have to reschedule this interview with Troy and make it happen. So we're now going on site at the Hatch Quarters co-working space in Melbourne. Razor community, are you ready to sharpen your mind? All right, let's meet Troy Dean. Hi, Troy, and welcome to the Razor Sharp Show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Ray. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
Excellent. And how have you been? I believe you've been away recently.
I have. I was in the States for 30 days in total, and it was fantastic. I've only been back a few days, so it's still a little bit weird kind of getting back into things, but it's good to be back, and it was a great trip.
Excellent. And was this business or pleasure or both?
A little bit of both. It was friends of ours got married in New York, and that was awesome. And then a couple of conferences, a private workshop for some of our customers, and then lots of sightseeing on the East Coast, and finished up in San Francisco for a few days.
In today's episode, we're focusing on some of the biggest questions about online courses, you know, the things that people want to know before getting started. Mm. I have a few listener questions with me and a few topics I'm particularly curious about. But before we get stuck into those, I'm interested to know from your experience, what's the biggest reason why people don't get started?
Well, that's a very good question. And in fact, we have a survey that goes out to anyone who joins our email list, and the responses for that survey are fed via SurveyMonkey directly into Slack. So every day I get multiple pings in Slack, and I just scroll through and I have a look. And the question is, what is the number one thing holding you back from starting to create and sell your own online courses? And typically speaking, the three biggest things are, I don't have an audience to sell a course to. I I don't feel like I'm an expert, so I don't feel like I've got enough credibility, and technical overwhelm. They're the three biggest reasons that people don't get started.
Troy, when did you know that you were wired for business?
Well, you know, when I realized I was wired for business, I realized that I was completely unemployable. And so therefore, I had to figure out a way to pay the bills. And I knew that I had to start driving the bus, because I'd been on many other people's buses for many years. And I'm a terrible passenger, man. I'm a terrible passenger.
And when you say unemployable, is that, you know, go deeper in that. Is it something in regards to being overqualified, underqualified? What was it? I think you're overqualified.
Well, it's a combination of thinking that you're overqualified, but actually being underqualified.
Ah, right.
No, I just don't like, I need to be the master of my own domain, and I'm a terrible employee. Every boss that I've ever had will tell you that I'm just a pain in the ass, because I always want to change things. I always want to do things my way. I always want to go against the grain. I never want to do as I'm told. I never want to fit into anyone else's systems. There's always a better way to do it. And I realized that I need to drive the bus. So, I mean, I've blogged very publicly about this, my complete story of being a university dropout and kind of not really knowing what I was doing with my life, and getting to a point where I realized that I had to start my own business to survive, really, because I'm not the type of person that can just go and get a job to pay the rent and you know, because I just can't fit into someone else's schedule and vision. I need to have my hands on the wheel.
Yeah.
And so throughout the course of realizing that, I started studying business. I started learning what it means to own a business, and what it means to get customers, and how you price your services, and what it means to deliver good customer service, and what marketing means, and what cash flow means, and what contracts mean, and all that kind of stuff. Because if I didn't figure it out, I'd have to go and work for someone else who had figured all that stuff out. Yeah. So when you have a job, the thing about having a job is that there's like 9 million things that you don't have to think about, right? And that's why you just go and have a job, and you do what is required of you, and you get your pay, and then you go home, and most of the time you don't think about it, because it's not, you don't have to worry about it, because someone else is worrying about all that stuff. Someone else is worried about not getting sued. Someone else is worrying about paying the bills, making payroll, managing the overdraft, you know, recruiting the right staff, marketing. Someone else is worried about all of that. And when you work for yourself, you have to worry about all of that stuff. So it's been a huge learning curve.
And there, some of the themes I've got in front of me here from listener feedback as well. So we may as well, you know, start from the top. One question I had for you, which is kind of two-pronged, and it touches on that, you know, I'm not an expert side of things. It's, you know, how do I know what to teach, because I don't have any teaching qualifications and I've never taught anything before?
Sure. So let me deal with the second part of that question first.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't have any teaching qualifications. Most people who have a lot of success with online courses don't have any teaching qualifications. So there's a whole world called industrial design, instructional design, which is all about, you know, teaching modalities and how to actually teach properly. And I'm just sort of starting to explore that now. So I don't, the answer to that is I don't believe you need to be a qualified teacher or have any teaching experience in order to be able to teach an online course. If you have sat in front of a client at some point and answered a question satisfactorily, and the client has nodded and said, thank you, that's very helpful, then I believe you can teach an online course. The first part of that question is, you know, how you know what to teach. I believe you should teach what you are passionate about. You know, when I talk to people who are thinking about teaching an online course, you can see when their eyes light up. You can see when the fire in their belly is started. That's what you should be teaching. And the reason I say that is because, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's a lot of hard work to create and sell your own online course and get it up to a point where it's successful and providing you with enough revenue so that, you know, that's what you can do. And you don't have to do client work or consulting work or, you know, whatever else is you're doing. And so passion is one of these things that kind of gets thrown around a lot, especially in the kind of entrepreneurial startup world. But I believe passion is really important, because money is just not going to be enough to keep you going and to keep you overcoming all of the hurdles. And believe me, there will be many, many hurdles that you'll have to overcome. And so therefore, if you're really, truly passionate about something, that is the thing that will keep you going and keep you getting out of bed every day when, you know, it seems like the world is stacked against you.
Excellent. And so when you set out to do your first business, or you realized you were not employable, how did you know where to start? What did you turn to? What were some of the tools and resources? How did you know where to get started?
Very good question. So I applied to do the NEIS program, which in Melbourne, which I think stands for New Enterprise Incentive Scheme.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, or it's New Initiative Encouragement Scheme. It's New Enterprise Incentive Scheme. And basically what it means is it's designed to help unemployed people start their own business. So, and I knew I wanted to do it. I knew, and financially, it gives you good financial support for the first 12 months you're in your business. And I knew I needed to do that. So I quit my job. I had to register for unemployment benefits. I was on unemployment benefits for 2 weeks before I transferred over onto the NEIS program. And then I had a mentor for 12 months who taught me the basics of, you know, raising an invoice and chasing money and, you know, running an appointment diary. And so what I did is I started contracting for a guy who was an IT training company. And he was a terrible, terrible, terrible business person. In fact, every 3 months he would have to move office because he hadn't paid his rent and there were landlords chasing him. Yeah, it was a horrible experience. Anyway, I learned a lot from that experience. But what I was doing, I was a contractor, subcontractor for him, and I was teaching corporates how to use Microsoft Office products, which is horrible because the products very rarely work as they're supposed to in the instruction booklet.
Yeah.
But I taught the Collingwood Football Club how to use Microsoft Access to run their membership database, and I taught Daimler Chrysler how to use Microsoft Publisher to do some internal desktop publishing, and that was my first business. That was when I registered for an ABN. I put my first invoice out and I got my first check in the business name.
And if you've got that passion and, you know, you've had that positive client experience that says to you, oh, I know this stuff and, you know, I'm an expert compared to a lot of people about this topic, how does someone actually go about writing the course content, especially if, you know, they're self-proclaimed time poor?
Yeah, sure. So, I love it when people say, I'm time poor, because we've all got the same 24 hours in a day, and how you choose to spend it is, you know, if you are happy or unhappy in your life, it's usually a direct reflection of how you choose to spend your time. So, you know, I don't think, first of all, turn off the television and I actually think it's more important to spend an hour or two every single day on a project than it is to binge and spend all weekend on a project.
Right. Okay.
And I learned that from my mentor, Ed Dale, because he said momentum breeds momentum. If you just chip away and spend 45 minutes or an hour on your side hustle or your project every day, and maybe you've got a consulting gig or you've got a full-time job and you want to build a course on the side, if you just spend an hour on it every day, you'll actually get further quicker than if you spend every Saturday on it for 6 months. Because the momentum breeds momentum. And also you'll need other people to help you out. So you're always waiting for other people to get back to you. So just chip away and spend an hour every day on it. Now, the first part of that question, which I'll answer second, is the quickest way to get your course outline together is to ask yourself, and you touched on this before, if you know something about a particular topic and clients have been paying you for that knowledge as a consultant, for example, or to coach them, or maybe it's something that you do in your day job, then chances are 99% of the population don't know how to do what it is you do. And I think we forget that. Like, you know, I come from the web design background and you kind of think, oh, well, building websites isn't that hard, but 99.9% of the population of the planet don't know how to build a website. So by virtue of the fact that you have some skills, you are an expert in that particular topic. And the quickest way to get your course outline out of your head and onto paper is to just ask yourself, what are the most common questions that people have about this topic? Start brainstorming those questions. You may already have an FAQs page on your website or your company's website that you can go and have a look at. And then ask yourself, this is the question that we always ask, what is it going to take to get a student in my course from zero to win? or in our case, from zero to rock star. Hmm. So we assume that everyone is starting from scratch, and we say, okay, well, what is it going to take to get our student from zero to absolutely knocking it out of the park? What are the big milestones they need to achieve to get there? And then within each of those milestones, what are the smaller steps they need to get there? And if you can kind of bullet point out, you know, we have this, we have what we call the 6x6 framework, which is, you know, six big milestones and six smaller steps within each milestone. That gives you kind of 36 short lessons that you can teach in a course, and then go and have a look through your frequently asked questions and just say, all right, well, that question belongs there and that question belongs there, and eventually flesh that out and piece it together so that you've literally got 36 questions that you're looking at on a sheet of paper. Mm. There's your course outline.
And so share with the Razor community a time where, you know, you felt like you were defeated and kind of wanted to kind of give up, and but you kind of, I know you're someone who really challenges through that and thrives on it. So, you know, a way that you kind of moved forward when you felt like you were being defeated.
Yeah. What time is it? It was about 7 minutes ago.
Why, Cass?
You know, it's a good question, man. I mean, so I've spent a long time reprogramming my mindset because, and I spoke about this recently at a conference, you know, the whole thing about failure is good because you learn from your mistakes.
Yep.
Well, the truth is I have my ego is way too fragile and I'm far too sensitive to consistently fail and have to turn those failures into mistakes, into learnings. Because taking a failure and turning it into a lesson takes a huge amount of emotional and psychological energy, right? And for me, I've learned over the years that you can actually reprogram your brain so that there is no such thing as failure. And so what I've done is over the years I've reset my mind to because what happens is when you fail, a failure is when something doesn't meet your expectations, when reality doesn't meet your expectations. So we're going to launch a product, we're going to run an event, and we expect 100 people to turn up and 30 turn up. That's a failure. So my expectation now, my only expectation now, is that I'm going to get out of bed every day, come to work, and I'm going to learn something.
Yeah.
That's my only expectation. So it is impossible for me to fail unless I stay in bed all day and sleep. And even then, I've learned something about myself, right? So that's how I now deal with constant challenges, and they're not failures, because every time I do something, I learn about that or about myself or about my team or about my customers or whatever. Because, you know, I think as an entrepreneur and someone who starts things, you're constantly going to be challenged and you're constantly going to be having to overcome hurdles. And the entrepreneurs that make it are those entrepreneurs who find a way to get around those obstacles and stay positive. Because most people just go, oh, this is too hard.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just too hard. And I'm going to go home and watch Netflix because it's too hard.
Yeah. You know? Love that. Razor community, just listen to what Troy's saying there in regards to the entrepreneurs that make it are the ones that just keep going and don't allow, you know, don't even believe in failure, just kind of know that the, you know, every day that they're learning, they're moving the needle forward, that's success. And, I really resonate with that, Troy, because the Razor community and the Razor Sharp show came about because of the fact I wanted to constantly, you know, create a platform where people are moving the needle forward and learning, and that's, you know, where it all comes from with the Razor Sharp show, being the seventh habit of highly effective people, which is sharpen the saw.
100%. Absolutely. Yeah.
Love that. And do you just start with like text answers before you move on to, you know, videos or like PDF bonuses? I guess the question is, what kind of things need to be included when you're putting a course together?
Great question. So we build all of our courses off one master Google Doc, right? So we have a Google Doc and we have those 36 questions laid out on that Google Doc. And then essentially what we do is we say, okay, in each of those lessons, so each question becomes a lesson. In each of those lessons, we now need to take our student from zero to rock star in each lesson. Mm. So what does a successful student look like when they complete module one, lesson one? Well, if they complete module one, lesson one, they will be able to XYZ. Now, that XYZ might be a particular skill that they have acquired and that they need to demonstrate, or it may be something that they've implemented. And so what we do is for each lesson, we develop either a template or a worksheet that they need to fill in to prove that, you know, they've got this new skill, or we develop a checklist. Sometimes a worksheet and a template's not relevant, so we just develop a checklist. Let me give you an example. Hmm. We've built a course recently about building your audience, how to build an audience so that you've got more people to sell your course to. And in that course, there's a lesson which kind of walks through plugging in a landing page into your email autoresponder. And so that's a very practical lesson. It's a pretty short lesson. There's not many moving parts. We do a screen share. We show them how to do it. And then the checklist. So in that lesson, a worksheet doesn't make sense, or a template doesn't make sense. Mm. What does make sense is a checklist. And so there's literally three boxes on a checklist. Have you done this? Have you done this? Have you done this? Have you tested it? Does it work? Yes. Tick these things off and you know that you're done. You have completed this lesson. So we develop all the checklists, all the templates, all the worksheets first, and we end up with 36 of those Google Docs linked to the one main Google Doc. And then the way that we build our courses is we literally just teach them how to use the template or how to fill in the checklist, teach them what they need to know so that they can use the template or check off the checklist.
And teaching, you know, running the students through using the checklist, is that done primarily through video?
Yes. So all of our courses include every lesson has a video, and the video will either be direct to camera, instructional, as if you're teaching a classroom, or it will be a screen share if you're teaching them something practical or technical to do on the computer, or it will be literally opening up the template. So, for example, if we have email templates or copywriting templates or a business proposal template, then we'll just open the template and we'll show them how to fill it in.
I'd imagine recording the course might be a hurdle for a lot of people. Do you have any advice for dealing with the tech overwhelm side of things when it comes to recording? And is there equipment or tools that they need to be using to get these videos up? Where should they start?
So here's the thing, right? Everyone blames the tech, and I did this for years. Everyone blames the tech on, you know, the reason, it's just there's so much technical moving parts. I'm overwhelmed by the tech. Everyone blames the tech for not taking action. The reality is the technology's never been easier. You and I both know this. The technology's never been easier. To produce a course and get it up online, I promise you, if the technology that is around today was around 8 years ago, I would just be so much further down the track because, the technology has evolved so much in the last 8 years. Mm. So from a technical point of view, it's really simple. If you're on a Mac, use ScreenFlow. If you're on a PC, use Camtasia. They will both allow you to record your screen and they will both allow you to record yourself via your webcam. So if you're on a laptop or a Mac, you've got a little built-in camera. If you don't have a built-in camera, get a USB camera. The one that we recommend is the Logitech C920. It's a beautiful high-definition USB camera. So once you've got that camera plugged in or you've just got your webcam set up, you fire up Camtasia or ScreenFlow and it allows you to record your screen. So that could be a PowerPoint presentation or a screen share if you're showing them something technical, and it records your camera at the same time. So you're essentially recording, it's like a two-camera setup, right?
Mm, yeah.
And then they allow you to edit those videos together very quickly. But here's the thing. The reason that most people don't take action is because it's a mindset thing, right? People are afraid of looking stupid. This is one of the biggest reasons that people don't take action in their life in general. It's the reason that people don't invest in new business. It's the reason that people don't go for their dream job. It's because if they don't get it, they'll look stupid. It's the reason that people don't ask someone out on a date that they've got a crush on, because if they say no, they'll look stupid. People are inherently afraid of being embarrassed and looking foolish and looking stupid. And it actually is part of our DNA. It's built into our survival mechanism. We don't want to be ostracized from the tribe, right? So here's a way to get over that. And this is this exact same advice I gave my wife when she wanted to start a podcast, and she was paralyzed for like 3 months, didn't do anything. And I said to her eventually, I said, why don't you just make the first episode of your podcast with a friend with the express intention of putting it in the bin the moment you finished?
Yeah.
Right? Well, now 12 months and 35 episodes later, she's got a successful podcast and she's, starting to get outreach from people in the States. And of course, she's up and about and the whole thing's going really well. Because she got over that initial mental hurdle. So just give yourself permission to completely screw up the first take by saying, right, well, I'm going to make one lesson for my course and immediately when I'm finished, I'm going to put it in the trash. And you might surprise yourself and you might find that you don't need to put it in the trash and that you can actually keep it, or you can watch it back and learn from it. And the only way to get better is to keep doing it.
Mm, I love that the whole giving yourself permission to screw up. And yeah, you're exactly right. You're going to get two things out of it. You're going to surprise yourself and it's going to be a win, or you're going to learn something from it. So you're going to get something out of it regardless.
Correct.
Excellent. So I want to talk a little bit more about Rockstar Empires and how you've found courses to really leverage your business. So what started this whole journey of building courses? Because it seems to be a common theme in all the businesses you're doing at the moment.
So good question. And the reason that Rockstar Empires exist is because we moved from client services to 100% leveraged revenue online. And when I mean leveraged revenue, I mean that you create something once and you sell it multiple times. I've been quite public in saying this as well. I think passive income is bullshit. It doesn't exist. Everyone's trying to chase passive income, and good luck with that because it doesn't exist. Income comes as a result of adding value to customers. There's nothing passive about that. But there is such a thing as leveraged income. So you make something once, you sell it multiple times. And in the digital economy, that's a product. That's a digital product. So I started teaching other web freelancers how to run their business, or I basically was teaching them how I run my business. I wouldn't be as arrogant to say that I know how to run your business, but I started teaching them how I run my business and what works and what doesn't. And we packaged that up into a course that did really well. And we got to a point where we then said, okay, we're not doing client services anymore because there's no scale in that. There's no leverage in it. And now we have a community of over 560 WordPress freelancers from all over the world who are in that program. And then what happened is I started speaking at conferences about recurring revenue, as you know, and I'd be sitting at the speaker's table at the back of the room with our members website open, and other speakers would be sitting next to me going, whoa, what's that? You know, what's going on there? And I just started sharing with people what I'd done. And then I thought, there's something in this. And so I ran a series of webinars to test whether or not people would pay for that information. And they did. We sold, I think we sold 10 tickets for the first series of webinars at $1,000 each. And that was just four webinars. So that was a proof of concept. And then we learned a lot on those webinars about what people wanted to know. And then we did a second series of webinars, and I think we sold 35 copies of that series for about $800. So again, that was like, great, proof of concept here. There's people that are willing to pay for this information. And then we repackaged those webinars up into a course, and we did a very small launch in June to our own, an internal launch. I think we had about 55 or 60 people sign up in Rockstar Empires in June. And now we're teaching service providers, entrepreneurs who provide a service, how to turn their service into their knowledge and IP into a course that they can make once and sell over and over again on the internet. So it literally, that company has been built as a result of listening to what people wanted and giving it to them.
Yeah, and I think that's a great tip as well. I've seen often business advice to say, look around you and see what people are asking you for advice. And that essentially becomes what people see you as a bit of a guru as, and what maybe you should be pivoting your business to. And I think a lot of times people are so caught up in their current business that they don't look at these opportunities that are slapping them literally in the face.
And staying on tech, I mean, there's so many hosting platforms popping up for online courses, it seems now. And that's kind of a question that I saw a lot of preparing for this. What platforms do you recommend to host an online course?
Yeah, so great question. if you want something, so I would not recommend Udemy because the pricing structure and the business model that Udemy have now, I just think it's near impossible to make any serious money out of putting up a course on Udemy. However, Udemy is great if you want to build a list. So if I was starting out again now, I would build a small course that is valuable but isn't my flagship course. It's like a chunk of my flagship course, and maybe it's just a smaller version. I'd put that up on Udemy. I'd give it away for free. I'd run coupon codes. I'd get as many people as I possibly could to sign up for it, and I'd eventually encourage those people to, you know, come join some kind of private Facebook group or opt in for something else. And I'd eventually get those people off Udemy into my own email list. That would be the only reason I would use Udemy for lead gen. If I wanted to get a course up and running quickly and wanted to start making some sales, I would use teachable.com. They used to be called Fedora a few years ago. I think they got into a bit of strife with the hat company, so they changed their name to Teachable. They're great guys. I've hung out with them in the States a couple of times. They're young, they're hungry, they're dynamic, they're responsive. Their platform is amazing. It does about 85% of what I would like it to do. Mm-hmm. If you really want to play the long game and you want to build in some really cool stuff like gamification and private communities and leaderboards and build a real community out of your students, then I would recommend building a solution on WordPress. And the platform that we use, it's a solution for WordPress, and it's called Social Learner for LearnDash. It's made by a company called BuddyBoss out of Chicago. Again, awesome guys, great developers, really know what they're doing, a lot of experience in the online learning space. And that's the platform that we use. The only problem with that is it's going to take longer to get it up and running because it's quite a learning curve. So the average entrepreneur out there, if you're looking at starting an online course, I would go to teachable.com. That would be where I would start for sure.
If there's business owners out there that go, look, I'm really knowledgeable and I want to start sharing that and I want to get paid for it, what's a tip? How do business owners and the Razor community kind of look out for some signs to know that this is how they should get started?
So, you know, again, I don't like to waste a lot of time. So my number one advice would be to find an audience, either your own community or use something like, you know, Facebook ads or use something like SurveyMonkey paid survey and get 100 people to answer a series of questions about a course that you think you've got in your head. And you want what you're trying to do is you're trying to prove that people are prepared to pay for your course before you go and make the course. Because here's the thing, the course that you think you've got in your head will be very different to the course you end up selling online, because the course should be dictated by what your customers want to learn.
Right, I love
just
that.
Just as a curriculum at a private college should be dictated by the student demands, right? So, you know, and that's kind of how I treat it. Like, the internet is just a great big private college and we're all teachers and we design our own curriculum. So sell the course before you make the course. That's my absolute number one bit of advice.
I love that. Love that. And I act surprised in a way, because hearing it again, it's just like that realization, but I've heard it over and over and it's just so, you know, I've seen you be the, you know, the product of what you speak about, because I've seen you put courses together and test the market. And I think the Razor community that's listening, you know, it's just such a great tip. Like, don't spend weeks building a course out that you sell two copies of because it's a course that you wanted. Really go to the market first and see where it fits within the market and get the feedback early on and start building a course that actually answers the questions of your students. And wouldn't it be amazing if the education system worked that way as well? And here we have an opportunity to create an education system that actually feeds to the Gen Y and alpha and millennials and their way of learning information at our fingertips. So absolutely love that. So with getting started with courses and so forth, does it need to be high tech? Where does the technology side of things need to sit? Because I know with online courses, people get a little bit shied away from, you know, how to get it. Is it video? Is it all at once? Is it, you know, all the mechanics? Like, how can you share a little bit in regards to making that feel a little bit more at ease with someone wanting to get onto courses?
Yeah. So the first thing I do is actually produce. So my theory with teaching is that you should teach the theory and then give the student a template or a tool that they can use to go and implement what they've learned, because that makes them less reliant on you as a teacher. So that works really good. That works really well if you're in any kind of consulting business, right? If you're in a, if you do like a physical business, like yoga, for example, you teach the move and then you give them a diagram that shows them how to do it on their own and with the correct technique. So there's always a way. No matter what business you're in or what course you're teaching, there's always a way to teach the concepts and then give them a template or a tool or a diagram or something so that they can go do it for themselves. Oh. And then, so what we do is we develop the documentation first, develop the templates first, and then we just teach the template. And the easiest way to teach, I mean, the guerrilla way to get started is just to teach it over a webinar. Don't even worry about recording a video. Just teach, I mean, record the webinar, but don't worry about producing a beautiful video and putting it up online. Just teach it on a webinar, get some people onto that webinar and then ask, get them to ask lots of questions. Okay, so this is what I've taught. This is the template you've got to support the learning. What questions have you got? And they'll ask you lots of questions. And then you say, yep, we're going to cover that next week. Yep, we're going to cover that next week. Of course, we're going to cover that next week. And then what do? You spend the next 7 days answering their questions and put a webinar on the following week. Happy students, happy students, because you've answered their questions and you've got a better course. And in terms of the tech, this thing here, man, is like a high definition television studio in your pocket, right? I mean, I saw you had it. You've got a little, little lav mic there. You can just plug straight into the bottom here, and you can put that, and you can stick that on a little tripod with a little iPhone holder, and you can make videos while you're on the toilet. And there's just no excuse not to be making little videos. Now, we've got a much more sophisticated setup here now. We've got, you know, high-definition USB cameras. We've got three digital SLRs. We've got lights and microphones and things coming out of our ears. But, you know, just whatever you've... My advice always is whatever you can literally reach out and put your hands on, use that to shoot your first video. And more often than not, it's just a smartphone.
Love that. And I'm glad you cleared that up for the listeners who don't have the video version. Troy was talking about his mobile phone being the device that really is the nearest thing that you can grab to start building these videos. And in fact, the first vlog challenges, which were inspired by Troy Dean, giving me the tip to just publish and stop creating things and keeping them on a desktop, was all shot off my iPhone 5, whatever version it was, or a 6. And, you know, the quality was fine to get started, and it got me more comfortable. And as the journey progressed, I upgraded devices and got a microphone and all that fancy stuff. But definitely getting started and just, you know, putting content out there with whatever's in your local reach is a really good advice for everyone listening as the Razor community. Well, Troy, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you, and I know the Razor community is going to get so much value out of everything that you've shared today. What's a bit of parting advice that you want to leave the community thinking with?
The grass is always greener on the other side, and once you realise that it's just the lighting that makes it look greener, then you realise that your patch of grass is actually pretty darn good and only gets better if you nurture it.
Love that. Perfect parting advice. Troy, thanks very much for hanging out with the Razor community today.
Thanks for having me, Ray.
No problems. Until next time, stay sharp.
The Razor Sharp Show is brought to you by Podcast Launch Co. Podcasting tips, tools, and coaching. Visit www.podcastlaunch.co.